For at least for a year?
For 1 year.
With 10, okay.
Ernie?
This is a subject I know a lot about. I've probably seen more than Dr. Only's ever seen. This is going to raise fishing mortality to nothing, basically. I mean, there is no fishing mortality to start with on American shad. It's all below 0.1, which is background clutter. So, you know, and to believe people can make a living on 10 fish, I like to have that market. Because I used to catch anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 fish a year. And well, I am a wealthy man, sir, but it had nothing to do with shad. And evidently I had bad breath because everybody on this side left. I make a motion that we approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. Take Mr. Holland, Mr. Schick. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Is 18 the one that the lady wanted to continue?
Yes, sir.
Okay. For 19.
Request for a public hearing. We can approve that.
Virginia Seafood. Wait a minute, I'm on the right page. Virginia Seafood Council, is that right?
Yeah,
Virginia Seafood Council request for public hearing. Good day, my dear. I'm sorry you had to sit here all day long.
Ms. Porter. Frances Porter, representing Virginia Seafood Council, and the 2005 Million Oyster March is winding down, and we are preparing for a 2006 March. I'm asking you to hold a public hearing next month to review a proposal that we will deliver to the commission next week for another Area Kansas project in 2006.
What is the wish of the commission public hearing?
Move to
Mr. Schick.
Move advertise.
Second. Second, Mr. Holland. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. A recommendation for a public hearing will be held on February 28th at our February meeting.
Chairman, with your permission, I'm going to depart.
Sir?
With your permission, I'm going to depart.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming. I'm sorry you're going to leave for dinner. Flounder fishery, proposed regulations.
This is more of an update than anything else. This is the first time since 1998 that Virginia's in a position where it does not have to make changes to the summer flounder regulation. And just to give you a very brief sketch, you have some tables in the back of your evaluation, and the second table in particular shows a six-year summary overall the efforts of all the states along the coast to manage this unusual process of having a target amount of landings 1 year and to see how the landings compare against them. And if you look all the way to the far right at the bottom of that table, you'll see that Massachusetts and Virginia are the only two states within 1% over a six-year period, whereas most other states are anywhere from 25% under, 32% under, 11% under. It's not to say that it's easy to track this process, as you know from the past. The landings can be very variable for many reasons. But the good news is we met with our ad hoc committee, and despite poor attendance because of weather, especially on the shore on January 17th, we did have five call-ins and two attendees and two others who emailed to say status quo measures. The status quo measures you can find on page 2 towards the three-quarter mark. Just like 2005, staff is proposing, and the ad hoc committee as well, 16.5 inches minimum size limit, a six-fish possession limit, and no closed season. So we'll have that for 2 years. We send in our plan to ASMSC already. The technical committee meets tomorrow, and there's no need, really, as our recommendation, to modify the regulation at all.
We don't have to have public hearing or anything like that.
No, sir.
Just accept it. Is this just information for us?
That's your update, yes.
So we have no action.
That is correct.
Quiet.
Thank you, Rob.
Good.
Number 21. This is something that I requested from Rob to give us some knowledge about. I wasn't sure what EEZ meant and what the closure was. But basically, I've talked to Steve about this several times. We and our boats, I'm speaking of Rudy because that's where I fish in the wintertime, and they go down to North Carolina, they don't seem to enforce it like we do, and my prime objection is that our good fella commercial charter boat captains stay in the three-mile limit and try to bait a law and get skunked with small fish, and a lot of people go down to North Carolina or maybe just go straight out to 10, 11 miles and catch big fish, and so they don't get the charter back call, and we're just, it's not fair. And Steve's answer, if he wants to answer himself, he can, that he goes out and they fly like butterflies. I mean, you can't run them down, so Sir? It's just a very unwholesome situation, and it seems to be on the edge. And I talked to Jack Travelstead about this, and Jack said, since he's on ASMFC, if we give some direction, that we'd like to see this thing move to 12 miles, and he'd know how to boat it if it came to that. I also asked what we would do with it, where do we go from here? But if this commission would approve the request to go to at least to 12 miles on the EZ or for rock fishing, it's like a snow law in quail. It's antiquated. So it wasn't meant to be this long. It was meant to go away and go out wider. I think we'd be more equal in our fish catches. It needs to be done. If we put this to the administration, then they would know how to react to the feds, hopefully, if it came to our senators or congressmen needing some information, if it came to voting in Congress, it would probably end up getting the ASMFC quicker, and Jack would know how to vote there for it, because he's our representative of ASMFC. So that was why I wanted it, that was why I did it, and I'd like to make a motion that, unless you want to discuss it some more,
I probably can give you just a few things that we did find out at your request. One is that the EEZ, or federal waters from 3 to 200 miles, have been closed since 1989 to the harvest possession of striped bass.
Because they were scarce at that time, right?
Right. In support of the, at the same time, we had a moratorium that started in 1989. There has been a lot of activity aimed at opening up the EEZ, which started in 1995. Massachusetts, after 1995, had a concerted effort to open up exactly what Mr. Garrison is talking of, the 3 to 12-mile area, and get it under state's jurisdiction. That would take legislation, federal legislation. In the aftermath of that, the ASMFC actually voted to send a recommendation that the EEZ be open to striped bass. National Marine Fisheries Service was one of the agencies that was positive on that vote. It was a narrow vote by one vote in the majority. National Marine Fisheries Service indicates all they were doing were saying, let's look at the process, look at the data, look at the information. There was no indication that we wish to open it up. There has even been a public information document circulated by ASMFC on this, and the most recent efforts on part of National Marine Fisheries Service stalled out because 2 years ago the stock assessment information indicated there might be some problems with the way the fishing mortality rates were, and spawning biomass was still pretty good, though. So National Marine Fisheries Service indicated they pretty much halted an EIS, which you've heard about for oysters. Same process here in EIS, Environmental Impact Statement, for opening up the federal waters. Of all this, what we have learned is that the issue is now with the Assistant Administrator of National Marine Fisheries Service, Bill Hogarth. He has that. He has not given any word as to what direction it's going to take. And the staff at National Marine Fisheries Service has said that the EIS is very close to being finished. They're just waiting for the word to go out and go through the public process, if that's what the word is. There are other indications that this is not going to be a straightforward issue. I enclose some attachments here of both sides, of some state representatives or federal representatives, pardon me, who are very against opening the EEZ. The state of Massachusetts is very supportive. It's clearly cut right down the middle and always has been since 1995. And it's hard to think that this is going to be something that's going to you know, be an easy fix on the part of the ASMFC. I think it'll eventually go through the process where the EIS results will come out, and there'll be technical committee involvement giving recommendations to the management board, one of which will be very similar to what Mr. Garrison mentioned. If indeed there are larger fish in concentrations more so offshore in the federal waters than inshore, then I know the technical committee is going to say that poses a problem for the stock. And that's certainly one of the prevailing thoughts right now, is that there is sort of a larger stock overwintering farther offshore. It's hard to say where this ends up. I think it'll go forward on its own merits because Massachusetts is still pushing. Whether the commission chooses to also be part of that, you know, that's something that probably Mr. Garrison's right. Jack would be at ASMFC as the commissioner's proxy.
Thank you, Rob.
Russ,
sir. Yes, sir.
No.
I want you to understand, and I'm sure Rob can explain a lot better than I can, that if you open EZ and there's an increase in mortality, there will have to be a decrease in fishing season to make up for the increase in mortality. So he might be robbing Peter to pay Paul.
I understand that myself.
Do you want to make a motion?
I'd like to have a motion, yes.
Let's do that.
Let me get Kelly first before we have a motion discussion.
To Ernie's point, Kelly Place, commercial fisherman, to Ernie's point, he's exactly right. It would be a Robin Peter to pay Paul thing. I would suggest, just a suggestion, that rather than make a resolution now in support of that opening, that perhaps you should wait till all the facts are in front of you. And I'm not coming down for or against opening this, but there are all sorts of mortality calculations which would in turn determine what our respective quotas would be. Until the ASMFC Technical Committee comes out with that, or I would suggest that maybe you'd want to have a public hearing before you made that resolution, because there are quite a few different viewpoints on it, and all of them I don't agree with, but they certainly deserve to be heard. Thanks.
Thank you. When can we get that information, Jack, sometime this year or something?
Yeah, oh, certainly, yeah. As Rob said, the EIS is just about finished from the on the federal side, and I think when it is, we could get a copy of that. That's going to be, I think, the best document for you to look at.
It's just, wouldn't I start getting a fair shake with our people that work hard and our charter boat captains? You're the one talking about a while ago about the crooked ones in the family. Well, that's just it's a family full of them.
Well, what you get into in a case like this is it's going to make hard feelings, because the commercial sector won't have to have any more restraint, because we're already restrained by a hard quota number that we obtain or come very close to obtaining every year. So by you opening up the ocean, you may have to close 3 or 4 months of the year, and it may be productive months that you don't want to close. We just don't know. And it may have very little or no impact. I was involved in the process. I was at the meeting. Massachusetts was very adamant. They wanted control. They wanted to open it up to 12 miles, but they wanted to control over the 12 miles so no out-of-state fishermen, commercial fishermen, could fish in their waters. And it wasn't their waters. It was federal waters that belonged to everyone. So,
Is that the desire of the commission? Let's get some more information. All right. Jack, come back with that when you can, and let's put that on the agenda whenever it's appropriate. All right. We've got one last item, I think. Shad restoration program.
We have two items. This item is your approval. It's an annual process of procurement procedures for the American Shad Restoration Program. We need a motion to approve the public notice, which will go out upon your approval, the evaluation criteria, and the price that we will pay to the participants of the program, which we are proposing to increase for the first time in a number of years from $200 a day to $225 per day.
Move so.
Second.
All right. Motion has been made and seconded that we send out these procurement procedures. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? No.
There's one other agenda item.
Yeah, right? Let's take it.
Go ahead.
We have a request for a public hearing next month to establish the 2006 recreational and commercial striped bass quotas. You just passed a lot of measures back in November, but we need to also place the updated quota in, and it's about 50,000 pounds difference, a little less than 50,000 pounds for each fishery. And then just in case you do hear a few things down the road, the commercial fishery will have a decrease in tags this year. The average weight for the Chesapeake Bay area did increase from 12.5 up to 14.54 pounds. And as you know from the actions in November that you took, the idea is if half the tags in 2006 are on 18 to 28 fish and half are on 18 plus, well, then that's a situation where it's a good idea to try and bring the average weight down. And that's certainly the intent, and it should work out the way. For the coastal commercial fishery, the average weight went down slightly. I believe it was 16.5 pounds last year, and it went down to just under 16 pounds this year. And, again, we determine these weights through our stock assessment sampling program. And in the case of the coastal program, almost 9% of the harvest was sampled, which is an extraordinarily high percentage for a sample. The recreational quota in the bay is the same as the commercial, and as Mr. Bowden mentioned earlier, at least for the coastal fishery right now, it's still the two fish 28 inches or larger and no close season.
What about the bay?
The bay has the same measures that you adopted for 2005 right now. We would wait to see probably in April what the Wave 6 or November-December data show. Anecdotal information, which you would know a lot better than I, indicates that that's modified slot limit where you couldn't have any fish between 28 and 34 did have some impact. At least that's what...
They just wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody will believe that.
Or blame it on the slot.
Right. Anything else to come before this board? If not, the meeting's adjourned.
We have to vote about quickly.
To vote on that.
Okay.
Sir?
Last month, let me start fresh in the new year. Several years ago, we passed a regulation. I wasn't on the board. I spoke to the board to allow people that had both licensed crab dredge and clam dredge license to keep both things. Evidently, somewhere along the line, it didn't get changed in the regulation, and Carl gave his legal opinion at that time, and Mr. Garrison was on the commission and voted for it, and it was a unanimous vote to allow that with people who had both permits. And somewhere along the line, there's been a mix-up, and it's been a problem arise on the Eastern Shore. And I talked to Mr. Travelstad and Colonel Bowman, and we were going to get a legal opinion from Carl, which Carl is gone. So my suggestion is we'll just do like we're doing now till next month and bring it in front of Carl. Mr. Kaufstead, you got any objections to that?
Don't get on the agenda for next month.
All right. Do we have to have a motion on the public hearing for the rockfish? So moved.
You need a motion.
Yeah. I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passed.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Can't we just do next month's too?
You're going to groove, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to ask Jane one more time, when these meetings last this long, call the governor's office and ask for another $50.